Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are studying the book of Ephesians, the mystery revealed. In this session, we'll be looking at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 to 16, Plea for Oneness, part 2. Unity of the church is the plan of God and the provision of the Holy Spirit. Within that oneness, the Spirit provides for quite a variety, a diversity of spiritual gifts to each one of us. No one gifted people. Spiritual gifts are wholly and solely of God's grace. Look there, our first couple of verses, verses 7 and 8 of Ephesians 4. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. The next two verses are a parenthesis in Paul's message, a commentary on the basis of spiritual gifts. The incarnation of Jesus Christ, that's the commentary, that's the context. Now, verses 9 and 10. Now this, he ascended. What does it mean but that he who first ascended, that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. He ascended after having descended. Why? Well, that he might fill all things. And then the apostle returns to his message, and verse 7 flows into verse 11. The argument is how spiritual gifts function within the church, Christ's body, using the example of gifted leadership. Verse 10 speaks directly to spiritual growth. That he might fill all things. Spiritual growth, evidenced in five ways. First, growth in practical ministry. Verses 11 and 12. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Apostles refers to the New Testament apostles establishing the church. Ephesians 2:20. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Prophets functioned in revealing God's truth to the church. Once the foundation was laid, these two offices ceased, the apostles and the prophets. And yet, in a broader sense, they continue to this day. One sent forth apostles, missionaries, and one who speaks, the preachers, pastors. Evangelists are those gifted to present the gospel and call sinners to repentance and faith in Christ. Pastors and teachers. It's one compound word in the Greek. It speaks of two functions of the same office of leading a congregation. It's not two words, pastors and teachers. It's essentially pastor teachers. Sometimes the role of caring for the members is emphasized, the shepherd, the pastor. Other times the role of edifying and of equipping is evidenced, the teacher. Believers are to perform the work of ministry, and they serve as the result of faithful pastors who enable them by teaching them God's word and nurturing them as devoted shepherds. What is the result? Well, the edifying of the body of Christ, bringing growth in two ways. First, evangelists promote growth by new converts, and pastor teachers promote spiritual growth by faithfully teaching Scripture. Spiritual growth is seen in practical ministry. Second, there's growth in spiritual maturity. Look at verse 13. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ. What is the goal of the church? Well, it's unity and maturity. The faith indicates a common set of belief. And the knowledge is intimate experience with Christ. These two will bring the members to a perfect man. One who has grown up to become Christ-like. Measure of the stature. And the natural outcome is oneness and maturity. So spiritual growth is seen in spiritual maturity. Third, talking about growth in doctrinal stability. Look at verse 14. That we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Spiritually immature Christians are blown around and influenced by every new teaching that comes along. Whatever sounds good, there's an alert there. Some television preachers are wrong. Two key words in this verse are children and tossed. Mature believers are not swayed by false doctrine. Satan's attack on the church today is to tear down sound doctrine. Some say if the church would just get rid of doctrine and theology, which separates us, people would be attracted. All that has ever produced is confused Christians. Many cult members are Christians. Spiritual growth is seen in doctrinal stability. And then fourth, growth in Christian love, verses 15 and 16. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Speaking the truth in love. This promotes growth. Listen. They grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. Understanding this spiritual organism is crucial. It's four facts related. First, consider our union in Christ, the head. Essential to life. The head is severed, we're dead. It's essential to growth, to grow into Him. Essential to completion, without a head. Essential to all members, the head controls. Second, consider our individuality in Christ. Every joint, every part, each fulfilling his or her own function. Third, consider our relationship to each other. Joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, helping the unity of the body. And then fourth, consider our unity as a church. The body for the edifying of itself. A single body with one head. A living body effectively working. And a growing body causing growth. An immortal body because of the head, Jesus Christ, may grow in all things into Him who is the head. A newborn baby's head is disproportionately larger than its body. Normal growth causes the body to catch up to the head. This is talking about Christian growth toward true Christlikeness. And spiritual growth is seen in Christian love. And fifth, it's growth in useful cooperation. Verse 16 again. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Jesus Christ provides all that is necessary. These are medical terms, body, joints. the parts of the human body joined in a single unity, controlled by the head. It's a perfect analogy of the church. Any part of the body which refuses to function is useless to the organism. And other parts must compensate for its lack of operation. The same is true of the church. Any part, any member of the body of Christ who refuses to function as a part of the whole in unity becomes useless to the cause of Jesus Christ. Well, let me ask you, are you functioning? Or do others have to do your work to make up? You think about that, and you have a great day.